it's going. Okay, so if you can start with telling me a little bit about who you are.
Sure. Well, my name is Mark Herstand. My professional work, I'm a social worker, and I'm the executive director of the National Association of Social Workers Wisconsin chapter. We represent 2,100 social workers statewide. I'm the registered lobbyist, and I do lobbying at the state capitol, and I organize our members, and do we take positions on legislative issues, we get involved in political campaigns, and do a lot of other things to support our members. Our office happens to be directly across the street from the Capitol, so it was an incredible time these last 3 months being there. We do have members of our association who are union members, and early on in the process, they asked what we were going to do, so I was able to convene a meeting of our Legislative Social Policy Committee. Unfortunately, they're meeting right away, mm-hmm. and I got them to go ahead with us being willing to take a position in opposition to the budget repair bill, both for the union busting thing and also because of the impact on Medicaid and poor clients, which mm-hmm. we were both concerned about. The union busting thing was important to us, aside from the fact that these members called us, because one of the things I do in my job is I help social workers who call me or email me, or primarily call me, mm-hmm. who have ethical and practice dilemmas in their work. And some of them are in danger of being fired or disciplined because they stand up for clients. Mm-hmm. I've had some who have been fired because they had no protection in their work, and others who were not fired because they did have some union protection. Mm-hmm. So social workers, part of our code of ethics says very clearly that we need to work to improve our agency's policies and procedures, and our clients come first even before obligation to the agency. So mm-hmm. social workers have an ethical obligation to put the clients first and to work to improve their agencies. And unions can protect social workers and other workers from being fired just because they stand up for their clients. So for that reason, we were very supportive of the protest, and we did take a stance in this area. I put something immediately on our website, and we sent an email to all of our members asking them to ask their state senate and representative to vote against the budget repair bill. Mm-hmm. Now, it was pretty amazing to see the protests start, and they just kept getting bigger and bigger and mm-hmm. bigger, both inside and outside the Capitol. I think that the most amazing thing for me, you know, I have been at NASW for 18 and a half years across from the Capitol, mm-hmm. and, you know, I'd go in the Capitol numerous times, you know, to lobbying different issues, and sometimes just to walk through the Capitol sure. just to get to the other side when it's cold outside. Yep. But I've been through the Capitol, you know, numerous times and worked, you know, with both Democrats and Republicans on different issues, some affecting clients, some affecting the profession. Mm-hmm. But to go into the Capitol and to be in the rotunda with thousands of people there chanting, sometimes singing, was just unbelievable experience. It's one of the most amazing experiences I've ever had in my life uh-huh. to when I'd go in there and just see the thousands of people and to see how people took over the Capitol. It's just incredible, the all the posters that are up there, the creativity of the posters, the fact that people, you know, they took over, there were sections there that were for families, mm-hmm. there was food delivered, you know, Ian's Pizza, the famous Ian's Pizza, that had to close their operation to the public because they had calls from, I think, something like 50 states and 20 countries eventually yeah. picked up on that, and I would see pizzas being delivered there. And just to see the diversity of people with the protest day after day, and see yeah. the diversity of people, I'd see home health care workers and cops and the firemen who had their I think it was like a Celtic a Scottish band that would play, and they'd march up State Street, and the thousands of teachers that came, and just the fact that they closed the Madison Public Schools for 3 days, which I was just blown away by that, because we first moved here, I've been in job 18 years, we first moved here 13 years ago, they closed for 1 day, and that was like a big deal.
Right.
But to close for 3 days and then have teachers from around the state, because I have contacts with other social workers, and to hear about that, and I actually drove up one day to Wausau, and I found out they had been closed there. It was just incredible, and to see the thousands of people around the square, marching around the square, and then the people, as I said, walking up State Street, chanting, and then the chants that are becoming part of our culture here. It's just incredible. And now, well, you know, the big chant about, tell me what democracy looks like. This is what democracy looks like. There's buttons like that. And what you see right now around the square, you know, there's just a few protesters around it every day.
Yeah.
But you have people actually honking the horn to the tune or the rhythm of this is what democracy looks like. I mean, it's just this culture that has come here. And there's T-shirts now being unsold and buttons.
Mm-hmm.
And the chants. I remember when I was in Wausau speaking, it was during the protest time, and one of the people who attended my session said that she had gone to a protest, it might have been in Wausau actually, and her 6-year-old or 7-year-old was there with her, and she said to her 7-year-old, her husband came home, and then she said to her 7-year-old, you know, whatever her name is, what's disgusting? And the 7-year-old says, Yonian Basting.
Oh my goodness.
So, I mean, that's part, all these chants, it just became a part of the protest culture. What's disgusting, union busting, you know, kill the bill, the signs and the buttons, which I have all these buttons that from there, kill the bill. and then the other thing that really shocked me was the level of acrimony and hatred towards Governor Walker. I've never seen this level of anger and hatred ever before, you know, in my years here. Now, I mean, I was during Vietnam, you know, I was in high school, then maybe a year in college, you know, there was that there then, but I've never seen it since then. It's just unbelievable the amount of anger that people had towards Walker and the hatred and that they had, and the visceral hatred was just amazing, albeit people were very peaceful. One of the things that's a real tribute to the protesters, and I think to the state of Wisconsin, is despite the fact we had tens of thousands, even 100,000 on the last big protest, and 70,000 one before, and was at both of them, everything was so peaceful. And the police were absolutely wonderful. And I could see the people would thank the police. I mean, there were a few times it got a little tense, but people realized the police were on their side. And there were people marching the cops, you know, for union rights and things like that. So, and then the I also remember that the Dane County Sheriff Dave Mahoney was quoting the paper as saying he asked his officers to exercise extreme tolerance, which also Chief Charles Tubbs, who I'd recently had contact with because of a lobby day we had there, also instructed people. So it was a really wonderful experience in democracy, grassroots democracy, because you had thousands of people inside the rotunda, deafening sound. They were drumming there. I remember one time I was there, they actually had some musical instruments. I think people were playing maybe the trombone or the trumpet, and they're doing, you know, either the Star Spangled Banner or America the Beautiful. People were singing along. And so there's singing going on, but there's the constant chanting there. And then to see the people sitting in, I remember seeing, I think, a lot of teaching assistants. I went up to the second floor near the assembly chambers, and I saw these people sitting in there to try to prevent people from going in. Now, there was another entrance there, but it was like, wow, this is unbelievable. I mean, this is real protest stuff going on. So the constant presence there, day after day, and the chanting and just the experience there and all the posters. And then I think the other thing that was really incredible was the marches day after day, the creativity and the good humor that the Wisconsin people did in the protests, and even kind of the way people dressed up and pantomime. I mean, they do things with the Koch brothers pulling marionettes of Walker and the other, and the Fitzgerald, and some of the things, like somebody came up with, this is Fitz Walker stand, you know, these little things that they came up with about very creative, you know, the Fitzgerald brothers and Walker and Stan, like a, you know, like the stands of the Afghanistan or Kazakhstan, you know, kind of combining it. Their creativity of is kind of like political theater that people did was amazing. And the signs, I remember the when the teachers are coming out and they were saying things like, you know, we teach our kids to not bully, stop bullying Governor Walker.
Right.
You know, I think there are a lot of things about bullying that came out in the signs that were that were part of the demonstrations. But there, you know, although the unions did have signs that they put out there, there were a tremendous amount of individual creative signs that people made themselves. And I just hope that there's and we're doing all history today, that people took their pictures of that, because they were, I think there are, I think they did take them. They're amazing.
Yeah.
And then a lot of these things were in the Capitol, but to see the Capitol, to remember it, because now everything's gone, but to remember the Capitol, where there are things posted everywhere, all over the Capitol. And there's even things about, you know, this Twitter thing and Facebook to keep on top of things. It's just incredible. I mean, it's just, there's nothing like I've ever experienced like that. It was like the People's Revolution took over the state capitol. It was like the people's house, and that they thousands of people would come in and they'd stay there, and people stayed overnight. You know, I never did that, but I went there at different hours and took people in, and I went in and you know, I went in to, you know, I joined some of the, you know, many of the protests inside and out, and just to experience it. And I visited some of the 14 Democratic Senate, their offices, to thank their offices for that. And one of the other history things that people should put in is what life was like for the senators, but also their staff, because I got bits and pieces of it. Some of the staff apparently worked like 16-hour days in the office trying to keep up. They got 20,000 emails, and they, you know, while their bosses were in Chicago, trying to flee away from the harassing Tea Partiers and going, the staff at the office were fielding all these emails and these phone calls, and just and you know, and they were, you know, helping the protesters there. They were there all night. I mean, they put an unbelievable number of hours. It was just an incredible experience. Someone needs to write that story too about the experience of the staff of the Democrats as well as the Democrats themselves. So I went in there, you know, just thank them for what they were doing while they were there. And then we, one of the things we did recently after the protests is we have a South Central branch, which is part of NASW, National Association of Social Workers. We include Dane County and all the counties down to the Illinois border. And we had a March of Social Work Month event. And what we did is, and fortunately, it took place after the senators were back, because we decided to give our public service award to the four Democratic senators in the South Central branch who had gone to Illinois to fight against the budget repair bill. So we had told the offices, this is, well, you know, this is great, we don't know if they'll be back, but fortunately they just came back the week before, or maybe 4 or 5 days before, and so we honored them at this event on this Capitol, and three of them came. Is really neat to hear their stories, and they were really appreciative of the support that they received during this time. And then we honored a fourth senator up in Green Bay for our Northeast branch, did a similar kind of thing.
You talk about that there was so much anger, yet it was very peaceful. I'm curious, how did the people express their anger?
Through chants, through political theater, through the signs that they did. I mean, this is where the whole recall thing just popped out of nowhere.
Right.
That was another amazing thing, that all of a sudden people were starting talking about recall, and first I'm thinking, well, whatever, you know, this is not going to go anywhere. And of course, now we know, yeah, it is, that for the senators, there's already two Republican, as we speak today, two Republican senators, there's already enough signatures for a recall. And my guess is that there'll be at least two more of the Republican senators, and maybe more. I've been in communication with some of the people at the Capitol, even today when we had our lobby day.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of thing. But I think that the, I mean, the people also had an opportunity to speak. One other thing that happened there is that you had these big rallies, and the other thing I'm remembering too is every major labor leader in the country came to Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Everyone. And that was just, I mean, the head of the Teamsters,
right.
Head of AFSCME, AFL-CIO, they all came here. It's just incredible. So I heard them inside the rotunda. I heard them outside the rotunda. They all came here. But in addition, which was very cool, is they had average people speak too in all these events. And it wasn't until much later they had any politicians speak.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, I also observed that after when they closed the to close the Capitol, which is not cool, there hardly anybody in. They actually had bullhorns around, and anybody could speak who wanted to.
Uh-huh.
So I think, but people had an opportunity to express their anger by the fact that the police and the sheriffs, they all exercised extreme tolerance. They allowed people in to the rotunda. They allowed them to protest. They allowed them to chant. They allowed them to sleep over. It was beautiful. It really was. It was a wonderful thing that they did. And that's one of the ways it kept peaceful. And I think there's something about Wisconsin's people that we tend to be more peaceful, too. I was just very impressed by the civility of the protesters. And also there was a deliberate attempt among the protesters to keep it peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
And there were signs around saying, keep it peaceful, this is peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
So there are signs around there, and people were saying that too, despite the fact that Governor Walker was quoted as saying that they had thought of trying to get instigators to cause to go violent, which is another incredible story. I think the thing that, this has been an unbelievably amazing experience, and I have two interns in my office now, one from Eau Claire and one from Madison. I said, you could not have picked a more exciting time to intern in my office. And one of the interns, you know, I said, I want you to leave the office and go across the street. You've got to experience this. So she did. She went inside the rotunda. And it was amazing. I mean, for them, it was an incredible experience, growth experience, to see that and just to experience it. And for both of them to see what was going on and to go to the protest and just to see, experience this. But I think that the fact that people are able to express themselves and they're able to march and protest, that kept it, peaceful and civil. And I think the police and the sheriff were very wise and prudent in how they handled it.
Mm-hmm.
And the protesters themselves handled it beautifully too. So it was a really wonderful expression of democracy, what
mm-hmm.
we saw here.
Yeah. And how did you personally participate?
I went to a lot of the demonstrations,
uh-huh.
inside and outside. Got buttons, t-shirts.
Chanted.
Yeah, I mean, I did all that. Did all that stuff. I got. Some of my friends from Milwaukee came in, and we went to these things together.
Uh-huh.
So for me, it was, we didn't organize an NASW group per se, National Association of Social Workers, although there were social workers who did kind of organize some student groups, and I talked to some social work groups when I was at some of the protests. But for me, it was more personal, just going there as, a social worker, but just as an individual and participating in many of the protests and just experiencing that, encouraging my interns to go there. And then I talked to some of my colleagues around the country who were asking about what was going on, so I could kind of talk to them about that, and people around the state, we talked to them about that as well.
Did you ever get up to the microphone?
No.
No? I thought you would.
I thought about that. No, I didn't have, I mean, I didn't organize that to do that, but I didn't do that, but there are other people that did a fine job of that.
Yeah. So what would you remember most about this whole experience or this time period?
I'll never forget the experience of being in the rotunda. I'll never ever forget that. That thing is gonna, and just the thousands of people there and the chanting there. It's just a really an emotional, moving experience being there. And then some of the marches and the cheering that people have walking up around the square. I mean, I'll never forget the two huge ones. The first one where there was it was freezing out there. The snow was coming down. And I mean, hearing Peter Yarrow sing from Peter, Paul, and Mary, that was a really beautiful experience there. The other thing is, I mean, there's so many memories I have of this. I remember when I heard Jesse Jackson came many times, but the time that he came with the assembly people, and it was right, I was really close to it, and it was. And they all spoke. I think it was for the first time they all the assembly people spoke. I don't know. I have so many memories of this experience. Even a YouTube video of seeing when the because I know a lot of these people, but watching this at home and being the fact that I knew these people when the Republican assembly. The speaker told the Democrats to come back at 5 o'clock for the vote, and then the Republicans started voting at 10:05. You can see in the YouTube, you see the Democrats coming in screaming at the Republicans because Republicans were trying to get the vote before they came in, and just watching that whole thing involve on the YouTube video was just incredible. And also I talked to some of the Democrats who experienced that. That was quite interesting. Uh-huh. Some of the Democratic Assembly people, what their experience was of that. And, they were very angry, very, very angry about how they're being treated. And I guess, again, the thing that's most disconcerting about this thing, and there's a lot of neat things, but the most disconcerting about this thing is what this did to... saying how civil it was on the one hand, but what it did to civility in the legislature and the anger between the Democrats and Republicans. I've never seen this before, this level of it. The just intense anger that people had the governor, it's totally what Walker's fault. I mean, he basically divided the state more than it's ever been divided. And between the Democrats and Republicans, and it was pretty vicious, some of the things that happened, and some of the shenanigans that the Republicans pulled to try to get the thing, and now it's in court right now.
Right.
And then just talking about some of the viciousness, you and I know the judge, Marianne Sumi, who made this decision,
right.
And about a week after she... made the decision that she put a restraining order, she stopped the implementation of the collective bargaining thing because Republicans violated the open meeting rule. The Republican Party of Dane County put out this vicious character assassination press release that when my administrative assistant showed it to me, I said, this has got to be a joke. No Republican Party would do this. But it was all about this leftist Marianne Sumi this, and she's a leftist, and she goes to these gourmet stores where a leftist owned by her leftist friends, and she goes to cocktail parties with her leftist friends, and that she has to take this position that she did because she wouldn't have any friends left in her leftist Madison, and her son is a leftist activist too. I mean, it was so bizarre.
Uh-huh.
It was weird. I said, this cannot be real.
Yeah.
And so the kind of viciousness that that came out and between the Democrats and Republicans is not un-Wisconsin to me. It's not like Wisconsin at all. And it was kind of disconcerting, really disconcerting that. And it's really because of the governor. I mean, he did all this thing. He made no attempt to reach out to communicate to kind of bring people together at all. And he put the Republican leadership, I mean, some of the Republican, I know the majority leader, I have no respect for him, because I've had other dealings with him. His brother might be a little better, but they put him in this really bad situation, and they've acted just terribly,
mm-hmm.
you know, running ramshot over, forgetting about the rules, forgetting about open meeting rules. You know, fortunately, the Judge Sumi has put a
yeah.
stop and a restraining order for now on that. So that's the disconcerting thing about what's happened. But so there's been, you know, I just have so many memories of this experience, and it's just an amazing kind of feeling to have, you know,
mm-hmm.
lived through it.
Do you foresee a resolution?
Well, interestingly, you know, as the protests were all about the collective bargaining thing that
right.
came out of the budget repair bill, but the budget bill that Walker came out with is even worse than the budget repair bill, and the cuts to, I mean, it's changing this whole, it could change this whole state.
Uh-huh.
It's, you know, really terrible cuts to the poor and low income, and, you know, public education, which we treasure in the state, is one of the best in the country, massive cuts to public education, cuts to transit to help the poor people, cuts for childcare for poor people. I can go on and on
yeah.
about that. So the thing is, and I was talking to a state representative today, or listening to him, this state swung as far to the right as it's going to be, and now we've got to push the pendulum as far to the left as we can so
mm-hmm.
that the Democrats can take back some power, because right now Republicans have total power.
Yes.
And they can do whatever they want, this horrible budget that's going to go into effect. But with the recall elections, if the Democrats can possibly take back three Senate seats and swing the Senate back to them, even if maybe they take two,
uh-huh.
It'll start changing the dynamics of the state, and it'll maybe make some other Republicans more nervous. And if you change the dynamics of that, then they will tend to put a brake on the more extreme members of their party, and maybe the governor, because they know they could lose their job. And so
mm-hmm.
basically, it's almost like what we experienced with George Bush being 8 years in office and all the damage he did to this country, and how long it's going to take Barack Obama to turn it around. It's the same thing, unfortunately, going now. Walker is really doing terrible damage to the state with the budget repair bill, with the collective bargaining, and particularly with the budget bill that just cuts everything, you know, affecting poor people, the middle class. And there's no shared sacrifice. And so the what we have to do as advocates, and we have a pact, not a big one, but we have to do our part first to recall as many Republicans as possible, so that if we could flip the Senate back to the Democrats, at least they can stop a lot of bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the budget probably already gone through, but they can stop really bad things. And then we're hoping that in 2012 we'll continue that. And I don't know if they could quite take back the assembly, because they're so far low, but the Republicans just swept through that. The Democrats were in control of both. But
mm-hmm.
maybe they can make huge gains there too and come close to it. Maybe they could.
Mm-hmm.
So we basically have to build to get power back. I mean, it's all about power
mm-hmm.
and influence. And we've got to work this politically. I mean, we can also do what we did today. We had 335 social workers in Madison and talked to
mm-hmm.
people. I mean, and we have to work in coalitions around the state, which we're doing, to influence people. But the political stuff is really critical, because if they feel nervous about that, they'll be more inclined to listen, and if they're constituents. So we need to kind of organize politically, number one, and also speak out on these issues and get the message. And some Republicans are starting to have second thoughts about some aspects of the governor's budget. So I think there will be some changes. I met with the Republican
mm-hmm.
Senate staff today as part of a lobby day, and he was pointing out a few things where some of the Republicans have had some concerns about some of these things. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know if there'll be a lot of things, but some of the things there'll be. So we have to basically keep pushing back, both politically, with the recalls and also speaking out on the issues. And then, since Wisconsin tends to be a swing state, swing it the other way, back the other way. So that's what we have to do.
Yeah.
And I think over time, hopefully we can do it, because we need to.
Mm-hmm. So for people in the future that are listening to this, what do you think that you learned the most from it, or what could people in the future learn from this whole experience?
You have to take a stand, and that this is something I said when I honored the Democratic senators. If I can remember the words I said, I'm trying to think about this.
Mm-hmm.
Something like, extraordinary challenges call upon extraordinary responses. And that's what the Democrats did. And everybody else did in the state. They left their work and they came to Madison. They rushed to the Capitol and they spoke out and they demonstrated and they basically stopped what they're doing normally in life. And so it is really incumbent for us all to speak out when there's terrible things that happen. And people did do that. And they took a major stance. The Democratic senators did by leaving the state, taking a stance on collective bargaining, and all the tens of thousands of people, 100,000 people, whatever, people came to the Madison day
mm-hmm.
after day from all over the state. And
okay.
I'm talking to people who from all the ones, came at different times they came to Madison to protest. So people need to take a stance, and they
mm-hmm.
need to stick their neck out. And when you have a major challenge, if you stand up for what is right, and you stand up and fight for what is right, you can have an impact with other people. And so people basically need to do that when there's an injustice or some other thing. They need to basically stand up for what is right,
mm-hmm.
put aside their daily life, and take a stance. And that's what happened here.
Yeah. Anything else that I didn't ask you that you'd like to share?
No, I don't think so. I can't think. I think that's pretty
okay.
comprehensive. Yeah.
Okay.